woke up this morning with the sundown shining in him.
Oh. Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
Oh, it's, it's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new so, you know... that's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Yeah, let's cut to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What the f*** are you talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning with the sun.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Giants. I'm always Mr. Matt Weber. S&P futures down 550, or down 6. NASDAQ futures down 21. Dow futures down 96. We're coming back a little bit today. We were, again, yesterday we were up most of the day, and we closed, we ducked under just on the close, not by very much, very slightly. Big day today with the... Well, big day yesterday in Chicago with the election, and big day today with Cohen testifying, and we have Trump over in Vietnam. I got to believe he's looking over his shoulder back this way. But, Kevin, how are you?
I am doing okay. Hey, I'd like to congratulate you for running an honorable campaign, and it's just a shame you didn't make it into the top two.
Kevin, I've been...
You were running, weren't you?
Yeah, I've been bending Matty Zero all the way in.
It wouldn't have taken many votes to get you up there. No one voted.
I'm absolutely appalled by the whole process. I mean, I don't know how much more appalled I can be. Not that I don't congratulate the winner, I do. I don't see how the hell somebody who runs the county, has all those people working for her, runs the Democratic Party, is vindictive as all get out, and I'm talking about Tony Brackwinkle, can somehow wiggle their way into the thing with 75,000. I don't know what the final vote totals were, Manny. They had less. This is like the second lowest voter turnout ever, Kevin. People are in with, like, talk about tyranny of the majority or minority.
Well, I mean, would we not say then that the people of Chicago are going to get what they deserve?
I'm actually pretty positive.
Let me put it this way: they're going to get what they earned.
I don't know. I'm so appalled by it, Kevin. I don't really know what to make of it. I honestly don't. I went up to my place about 4:35. There was 214 people who voted, and I'd seen as many as I've seen in the biggest elections in my little precinct. I've seen as many as 500. Usually, the number is somewhere in the threes by the time I go at 4:30 or 5. By the time I get down here and get home,
I voted at probably 6:30 or 6:40, and so there's only I think the polls close at 7. There was only 265 at that point in our place.
So between 4:30 and 6:30, only 40 people showed up.
Yep. And then, but then there was like a line forming, so a lot of people were squeezing it in before 7. So I don't know what it finished at. It could be anywhere between 300 and 400, but it was a small number.
When I was there, I was the only person in the place. Like by far, I mean by far. I mean literally, there was nobody there. I mean this was maybe 4:45. It was.
Well, I mean it's very inconvenient. It's a Tuesday. It's horrible weather. People work like me.
By the way, that's the intention.
There was all kinds of issues on the CTA downtown, of course, at 5 o'clock. So I didn't even get home until 6:15, and had to take the dog out. And then the only reason I even did it is because when I was walking the dog out, I got accosted outside. You got to go vote, and I said, I know I'm planning to. I'm going to squeeze it in. So I dropped the dog off and ran back up there and voted real quick. But I mean, they make it as hard as possible.
Why didn't the dog get a vote?
That's what I said. I said, you know, can. Get him a ballot.
The Chicago you once knew is a thing of the past.
Well, but, you know, the weird part, Kevin, is that there's the lady who's our alderman, and I only have one real serious bone to pick with her, and that she voted against keeping the Tinley Park mental institution open, whatever you want to call it, mental home, something. Since that thing is closed, you know, half those people are now in county jail. because you know they can't be on their own, so they commit a crime, so they essentially can get fed. Maybe not intentionally, but that's where they end up. If you talk to Tom Dart, the sheriff, you'll say, "What can help you out? Get the people in here that aren't criminals the hell out of here. They're here that are basically we've become the new mental institution," which you know is not what you want. So, but literally, Kevin, there are four people, all of whom I think were pretty decent. I met two of them, came to my door, and I understand there's two guys came to the door. The Michelle Smith, who's the current alderman, is not bad. Matter of fact, I think she's pretty good, actually. And then there's another lady. What was the other lady's name?
Leslie Fox.
Leslie Fox. And so there's literally four really pretty good young people running for this spot, and the respect they get is nobody shows up to even care. And they've been at this for 6 months. I mean, what the hell? I mean, I don't know what to make of it, other than just a general feeling of appalledness, if that's even a word.
Yep. Does Bill Daley's failure to make it seem like the end of the dynasty now? That you know, like finally we've put the Daleys in the rearview mirror.
I voted for him, and I really am sorry. It's one of those things where I don't think you can paint everybody with the same brush from the same family. I mean, I love you and I love your brother, but you're not the same person.
I know he's the respectable one.
Yeah, well, see, but I happen to know Bill halfway decently. I'm not a friend. When I say a friend, if he listed his top 100 friends, I wouldn't be on the list. But he helped me out when I was on the board with the CBOE. Matter of fact, he gave me 2 hours of his time, believe it or not, on a Friday night because I was young and I was. CBOE had this deal with Tommy Boggs from Patton Boggs and Blow. Was the name of the firm. Tommy Boggs is the son of Hale Boggs, and I've mentioned him before. And better back, he's a sister of Cokie Roberts, who doesn't necessarily want the world to know she's a daughter of Hale Boggs. But he passed a couple years ago. But he was one of these. I mean, there was probably one of the top two, three, four lobbying firms in Washington forever, right? And the CBOE had the $10,000 a month club with the guy. Where they were, you know, they would get they were on retainer for $10,000 a month to kind of just watch for crap that would be affect the industry. And so I talked to Mayor Daley one day at the club, and I said, you know, I have no idea how much you should be paying these people who should be doing what or other. I'm in there voting for this stuff, and I just feel like you know me, Kevin, and you're the same way, maybe worse. It's hard for me to give an opinion on something I know nothing about. I might lob a preliminary one out, but then I'm going to go home and dig through a bunch of stuff so the next day I can clarify it with some knowledge. Richie Daley says, why don't you talk to Billy? And I said, well, I just said hello to him there a couple times. I don't know him that well. I'll have him call you. Get back to the office, phone rings. It's Billy's secretary or assistant. Hey, come on over Friday, 5 o'clock. I go over and he pretty much charted out all the people who were the big people in Washington, who paid what for where. Knew exactly who our legal CBOE always used Schiff Hardin. He goes, those guys should be doing most of this for you. You don't have to pay somebody $10,000 a month for this and blah, blah, blah. And, I mean, I asked him everything I ever wanted to ask about city government, and he just was as truthful as all get out. And I don't think I've ever met a brighter guy.
And I have a lot of respect for that. When I hear those stories, people who make time for others for no reason other than to just do it. Those are really great people. It is one of the things, Tom, that you would really love about being in a small city and being part of the business community there, because that is what happens all the time.
Well, and I know, and that's why I quote you 10 times a week when you're not on, because I know there's a different world, and I'm getting very jaundiced by this one. But I also know that when you have a transportation hub, when you have 3 million people in town, and how many around, Matty? 7 million. That you can't give up on a place like this. And I mean, Chicago's just too damn important to be governed like this. I mean, you can't have massive swaths of the place become like Berlin after the war, for God's sake. You can't. I mean, this is wrong. I mean, and now we've switched from the tyranny of the majority to the tyranny of minority. I don't mean minorities, but. You know, how does 75,000 people determine an election where 10 million people live in the area, for God's sake?
but I would like to find a better word than tyranny, because tyranny would imply that the others were cut out of the process, and I think the others cut themselves out of the process.
Well, I that's very possible, but what I'm saying is,
so, I don't know if tyranny is exactly the right word, but I'd have to think about it for what the right word is.
Well, I mean,
people chose not to vote.
The apathy of the majority leads to the maybe that leads to the tyranny of the majority.
But I mean,
I don't know.
But Tony Preckwinkle thinks she has a mandate. Last night, her speech was like, you know, I can't believe, you know, I mean, it's unbelievable what they think the message was. The message was nobody cares. They don't like any of them, evidently. I don't know what the message is. I wish I could figure it out. But I mean,
is it I don't like any of them, or I just don't think any of them are going to make a difference?
But that's,
I don't know. I don't know what the message would be there. But it's you're right. It's a darn shame.
Well, I think part of it is that the American way of elections, and I never was all that big on the way Europe does stuff. That's probably why we all left, or our grandparents did. But the idea that we don't have, I'm going to ask Manny to look it up. I'm sure he probably can't, because the county used to give their people the day off for the election, Kevin. Well, if somebody has that kind of power, I'm not saying she did yesterday, we're trying to find it, and she wins with 75,000 votes, Kevin, I got a real problem with that. And I'm just saying, I do. And if we start talking about, how many people, what's the total vote, Matty? Quarter mil, maybe? 200,000? And we're having all of a sudden, we've got 20,000-30,000 of these absentee votes coming out of areas where people don't even know where the vacation is. I got a problem with that too, Kevin. I mean, I don't want you to do it, my problems. It just rankles me a little bit that it doesn't sound right. I mean, how can you win anything in an area where 10 million people live with 75,000 votes? I mean, I just...
Well, you got your answer yesterday.
Yeah, I don't know what, but why can't we do elections on a Monday? Why does this election have to be? We just had a friggin' election. Why couldn't this election?
What's wrong with Saturday?
Well, or Saturday? Well, the Yiddish people won't go.
Yeah, that's true. You'd be cutting out your Seventh Day Adventist too.
Yeah.
What's wrong with all weekend?
Well, okay. What I'm saying is, why exactly the Chicago elections for mayor and for these positions are done on a Tuesday in March because they want a low turnout, or not because they want a high turnout?
Well, that may be, but, if you go back to the day, even when we did have high turnouts, they were on Tuesday, but that was a different time. I suspect one of the reasons, the low turnout may be the reason we haven't changed it, but I think the reason we do it in the first place is because we've always done it on Tuesdays.
I'm talking about, why isn't it the same day as the election in November?
That's a good question.
We had a big turnout. Why does this have
to
be separate?
Because, Tom, we don't want such an important election to be lost, and all the issues to be lost in the big election.
Does that sound
like high quality BS?
But there were no of the what do you call those petitions? None of that stuff on this thing. You only voted for four people: treasurer, the mayor, treasurer, city clerk, and alderman. That was it. So you were in there for about 30 seconds. So I mean, it's a total. Now we're going to have another one in mid-April for the judges and all these precincts all be back out again. I mean, what is the cost of this? Just so we have a low turnout. A weekday in the wintertime. That's the best we can do.
That is. That apparently is.
Yeah. Now what if there was a blizzard? we had 48 people show up. Well, I guess that's a. And the people in office have such
it
an
could
advantage.
Happen.
Yeah, the people in office have such an advantage anyway. You know, I just think, I guess we absolutely need, in my opinion, what is a city anyway? It's not a constitution. What's it, a charter? I should know this.
The city, it could be. I think it varies from state to state. You get. You see the word charter in Michigan all the time.
I think it's a charter. Man, you can Google that. See what the hell. I mean, a state has a constitution. The U.S. has a constitution.
Yeah, it could be an incorporation. I don't know.
Well, what we honestly need a convention here to set this straight. We got to figure out how many wards we need now that the city's less people. We don't need 50. I mean, we things have to happen here. You know, I think that every once in a while, it's been how many hundred years. I mean, I think we should put the election on a Sunday. Maybe we should have it the same as some other. I mean, the goal forever. I mean, if you were in the county, if you ran the county and you let your people off, and there's 100,000 people that work there, and 50,000 people show up to the election, you think that gives you an advantage, Kevin? Duh. I'm just saying. So what's going to happen today? You know, I never do this, but I actually listened to the. I read. I didn't listen. I couldn't listen to him. The guy, CNBC, ranting and raving about not CNBC, MSNBC, about CNN. The guy was ranting about the constitutionality of this border thing, and I don't understand how come. Boy, if you're on one side or the other, well, you're willing to I'm not accusing you of this. Well, you're willing to let go. I had people 2 weeks ago tell me that they couldn't stand Obama because he bowed to the Queen or something at one time. He did something that no American should ever do.
Oh, he bowed in Saudi Arabia. He bowed to the Saudi prince.
Well, at least it wasn't this guy. But how does somebody call Kim my friend when the guy uses airplane guns to shred people? He's not my friend.
Tom, I don't have a problem with that. He's negotiating. If he makes progress, I think that's good. And I don't think they make progress without talking. So I don't have a problem with any of that. I'm kind of amazed that people do. Other than it's it gets to be personal with Trump and they don't. They don't trust him or whatever. Okay, I sort of understand those, but the whole idea of making some progress with
North Korea
seems like a good thing to me.
Well, I'd love to make some progress.
I agree. I completely agree. I don't understand why anyone doesn't want what's best for America and the world.
The idea that just
a calming down North Korea is a good thing for everybody.
And they've been a little calmer lately anyway, so I think that's good, but it's a baby steps thing. I hope it happens. I hope they walk away with something substantial there. I don't know if they will. Maybe they won't. But it's all relationship driven. So,
well, just think of the difference in money from this end. That if all of a sudden they became a real country and are producing stuff and we can trade with them, versus what do you suppose our budget is to keep our people still in South Korea?
By the way, I have no confidence that any good will come from this, but I hope it does.
I do too.
Yeah, I think where I am. I don't know what to expect, but I do think it's the choice of venue and the words around that are look, this is what you can become, and Trump has been pretty specific about saying if you want us to work with you to become that, to improve your economy and have trade in the world, that we will do that. If, and then fill in the blanks.
I will say,
will that happen? Don't know, but I hope it does. And I don't think it's wrong to be there and to be meeting with this guy. It's farther than we've gotten in a long time with him. Now, I'll also say, that
Kevin, whatever you're talking through isn't working, bud.
We've made agreements that were, immediately broken. So you still could walk away with a monumental agreement here only to have it just ignored. So I don't know what to expect here.
It troubles me a little bit that the idea of this personal relationship, I think, is a little drawn out with our guy. And whether that's just his style or not, I'll tell you what, I think it's genius to have it in Vietnam, because the progress Vietnam has made in the North after the Vietnam War and manufacturing and other stuff is pretty dramatic. So if ever there was an example to this guy of what could happen in the next 30 years, that's a pretty good one. So I applaud whoever's idea that was, and it was the president, I'll applaud him for having it there. I think it's a terrific venue. Don't you?
Yeah, and the sort of the history of it is that Vietnam struggled and scuffled because, as a communist regime, and they had to back it off and do some market reforms. It's still a communist regime, but it's, with a lot of market forces at work. And I think that's, that's
you can still shoot people,
you know,
but
interest is going to be staying in power.
You can
anything else, and you know, I think every time he leaves the country, he has a fear that he's not going to get back in.
Well, that's right. I mean, I think he I won't use the word matured. He's figured out that his current routine for to go another 40 years like that might be a challenge. You think? I mean, always watching your back and gunning people down in the town square. I mean, it's a. If he could find an easier way, I suppose maybe he'd take it.
Yeah, so in some ways he's his father and has been as ruthless and awful as his father. And in other ways he's probably not his father because there's a whole realism that has to set in.
Well, I think
we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, we'll see kind of where that one goes. Then we got Cohen today. This will be everybody glued to this one. I guess every bar and restaurant in Washington is open at, what, at 9 o'clock or at 10 o'clock today with the bar and the food already gone. A lot of free buffets and everything. Or I won't say free in Washington, included buffets and the whole bit, Kevin, what I'm hearing.
Yeah, I saw some, first of all, we couldn't have done this next week. I really do think it is kind of stinky to do it when the president is...
Which came first?
Involved in this whole Korea thing. It's an attempt to deflect off of him anyway. That could have just as well been done next week. But okay, so we're doing it. Don't be surprised to see if the Republicans try all kinds of procedural things to defer it.
Wouldn't be surprised.
So don't be surprised if it really doesn't happen today.
I think you might be right about that. S&P futures down 550, Dow futures down 60, NASDAQ futures down 13. Oil up a buck, $1.04. It's a big move in oil, 56.54. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we have always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters. The Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a 1 month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments.
You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Blowing up by Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howie. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. We have Mr. Kevin O'Neill as well. S&P futures down 475. NASDAQ futures down 1150. Dow down about 55. Movers in the Dow, United Healthcare down 171. And we've got Home Depot down a little bit after your big fall yesterday. They're down another 80 cents today. But kind of nothing major. Moving so far, obviously, with all kinds of things happening with the Fed. Mr. Powell testifying yesterday in front of the Senate. And you know what? Every time I watch that, it just bothers the hell out of me. But that's just me. DAX down 56 points, 0.5%. FTSE down 52.7%. CAC around down 10. That's only 0.2. Over in Asia, we've got the kneecap 107. Again, remember, these guys are pretty bullish on the Trump meeting over there in Vietnam. And, you know, let's hope it's more progress, like I say. Shanghai up 12.4%. Hang Seng down 14. Call that one flat. Oil, like I said, is up $1.07. Brent up 90 cents. 56.57 and 56.11. So we've actually got that spread back down to 9.50. Natural gas 2.76. That's actually down 3 cents. RBOB up a penny, 1.6, up 2 cents to 161. It's the highest we've seen that in a while. Should have filled up the Suburban last weekend. Home heating oil up a penny to 2.01. And we've got gold up 40 cents, 13.28, so not doing much. Silver down 2 cents, so not much going on there. Again, we've got Cohen speaking today. We've got Powell speaking today. We've got all kinds of stuff going on. It'll be an interesting Wednesday. What do you got for us, Mandy? Traffic, weather, sports.
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We're off to a relatively good start on the area expressways. One area of concern, northern suburbs on the tri-state. We have a crash southbound just before Central Avenue that's blocking the two right lanes. Expect delays as crews work to get that cleared up. But again, that's on the tri-state southbound side just before Central Road. No issues on the Edens or Kennedy. Eisenhower looks good. Same with the Stevenson. Southside expressways have been quiet all morning, so that's good news. Off the expressways, north side of the city at Belmont and Pulaski, there's a car into a building that happened at about 30 minutes ago. We think the building won that collision. We're waiting for word. But crews are on the scene, and that has a blockage there at Belmont and Pulaski. Relatively busy intersection on the northwest side, so keep that in mind. North suburbs, there's an accident at Route 41 between Gage Lane and Route 176. Multiple accidents due to slick conditions in both directions right there. So that's a mess. And then just north of there on Route 41 at Washington Street, there's a disabled vehicle causing some slight delays. Only other thing of concern or issue to note is that we have a winter weather advisory in effect until 9 a.m. this morning for DeKalb, Lake, and McHenry counties. freezing drizzle and light snow are expected during this period. It could make driving miserable out west and to the northwest of the city. We might hit the outskirts of that storm in the city, but we're not expecting much of an issue. So only affecting those counties. Everything else looking okay out there. Weather today for Chicago, overcast skies, a high of 32. So we'll get right around freezing, a little bit warmer than yesterday, but still below normal for this time of year. Right now it's cloudy and 26 degrees with a wind chill of 15. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy with a high of 75. Right now it is cloudy and 53. In sports, the Coyotes have won four straight, Chief, and they're firmly in the playoff race in the Western Conference. They beat the Panthers in a shootout.
They took the Hawks spot in the playoff race?
4-3. They did. They leapfrogged the Hawks, and they haven't looked back. Blackhawks were off last night. They start a West Coast trip. If they want to keep their playoff hopes alive, they probably need to sweep this West Coast trip to get back into it. They're in Anaheim tonight. That's a 9 p.m. puck drop. Chief.
I think I won't stay up. Just saying.
I think I'll miss that one also.
Kevin, we had the usual routine with Jay Powell in front of the Senators, and this won't happen, but I will give you this. This is how petty people become, including me. I would make a Senate rule. I don't know what I'd do, whether I'd have a water balloon ready for you outside. When you go to one of these things, when you're quizzing somebody, when the other people have to listen to you, and the minute you're done talking, you get up and make the last guy look like he's in an empty room, I can't begin to comprehend how rude that is. Just saying. I mean, it's just me. How nuts am I? Pretty nuts.
Well, that's a separate question.
Yeah. Why can't you sit there and put your ass down for the 5 minutes the other guy has to talk because he had to listen to you?
Yeah, I agree. But we don't do polite and civil anymore.
No, when you have a...
Certainly not in the political world.
I the thought of me having a committee meeting, and I chaired a committee at the CBOE for 12, 13 years, various different committees. The thought of somebody giving me his spiel and getting up and walking out, I can't even imagine me ever asking him back. I mean, it's just me. Does that make me some kind of an old cat or what? I don't know, but I just saying. I mean, when I listen to people talk, the most... Arguably, the position of the most brilliant economist in the country should be the head of the Federal Reserve. When I listen to a man talk about he just can't get this inflation going, I look out the window and I see what's happening. Kevin, I almost want to fly out the window. I mean, for God's sake. I mean, I know I talk about this too much, but what are we talking about? I've got studies here that in the last 15 years, they've got the price of, medical care up, 8% total, and I've got it up 1,000%. I mean, we're not even in the same room where this guy's talking about how he just can't get this inflation over 2%. What manner of moron, or what, I mean, the guy is not a moron. If he was a moron, I could understand it, but he clearly isn't. He's arguably the smartest economist in the country, for God's sake, and way smarter than I'll ever hope to be. How can these guys put their head in the sand continually when they must know they're wrong, unless they just hide behind the fact this is the report we get from the BLS and this must be the number. I can't figure this out. Can you? You're much more.
I can't. I will say one thing on healthcare is that when most of us think healthcare, we think of not just what we pay to doctors, but what we pay to insurance companies. And it really is the price of insurance that's up, not the services themselves. Up in greater proportion, both up.
So what that tells you is that somewhere on the sheet of paper should be a price of insurance, and it's not there. So it's not there either by omission or commission, one or the other. But it's not in the table.
For whatever reason, it's not there, yes. Though. And it's a big deal. And yeah. It's important because to the average person, that's what you're looking at.
Right.
And there's a big disconnect there. But when you say healthcare, insurance should not be confused for healthcare. Healthcare is something we get. Insurance is just a mechanism for paying with it, and that's the part that's so screwed up. It isn't the healthcare system itself. And sometimes when people say our healthcare system is broken, that it's not. Our healthcare system is outstanding.
I'm going to push back a hair on that. Yes, you are correct. If you can get to the right people in the right hospitals in the big cities, I don't think there's ever been anything like what they can do for you medically. There's not, I mean, it's, you know, I've had a couple things happen to me that like 30 years ago I'd be pushing up daisies, as they say. But somehow or other, Kevin, you look at these hospitals and what they're building. You look at the new Rush, the new Children's Lurie. You look at these places. The amount of overhead that is baked into the system. I look at that, and I look at what my dear friend Kevin O'Neill says in some of these outlying areas, not outlying, like in the middle of nowhere. I'm talking about these care centers or these off-site MRI centers or so forth, how their cost is dramatically lower. And yet I keep seeing these places getting bought up by the other places. There's no way on earth you're going to get the current Rush, which I'm going to say 40% of the property is rooms, if that. These things are Taj Mahals to somebody, Kevin. You're never going back to a low overhead operation to where you can actually walk into a doctor's office, he gives you a shot and charge you $20. That ain't happening. I mean, because they will buy other places just to make sure that they're not, they're just like Merck. There's a low cost place doing it, we'll buy them. I mean, we were rendered as loop. And that's why how can I put this? I really can't put it delicately. I know it's the old white guy's turn to bow out. I see that. I mean, I'm not blind. And I will tell you this though. I mean, the two ladies that are running for mayor here in the city, one I actually think is really terrific, and I hope she maybe could astound and continue to astound because she has so far, this Lightfoot lady. Tony Preckwinkle I have zero use for, to be honest with you. But it's hard for me to imagine the complexity of the problem, how you don't need somebody with a life's work like a Bill Daley with all the warts in the family and everything. I don't see how this would all be put together by somebody who doesn't have this 35, 40 years of experience, good and bad. I don't think you throw that out. And I think we've decided we don't need any of this knowledge anymore. And I'm not so sure that's true. It's not that I'm all for the old white guys. I mean, I'm not. They've got their warts, and they sure do. But, I mean, the idea that anybody out of a trailer park, I'm not accusing these two ladies of being out of a trailer park at all, anybody out of a trailer park can be president, can be mayor, I don't buy it, Kevin. I mean, these problems are way, way too deep. I mean, if you start trying to take apart and go back to a normal cost on the healthcare industry, for God's sake, you need some combination of Solomon and Edison and whatever. You don't need, somebody who's 25 years old telling about taxing rich people. I mean, we're not even on the same planet of what these problems are. Now, I understand that the old white people got us into some of these problems. I get that part. But we need a Roosevelt here, and I don't see it coming. We've been amazingly lucky in this country. We've had three massive crises that, in history. One, we had a George Washington. One, we had Abraham Lincoln. And one, we had a Franklin Roosevelt. And I think our crisis right now is almost reaching the same because it's internal. And I don't see one of these guys on the horizon. I honestly don't.
Well, and we have such a bad cost model now that, you know, you take a Bernie Sanders proposal that is estimated in excess of $3 trillion a year.
I think it's very obvious
to do it for all. Well, you know, the combined... And we're going to do this by taxing wealthy people and make them pay their fair share. You can take the combined revenues of the Fortune 500, and you're in the 12 trillion range. That's the revenue. So if you're looking probably at, you know, somewhere in the 2 to 3 trillion in profit. So I suppose we could just confiscate all of the profits of everybody in the Fortune 500 to pay for this.
I think Bernie has a real problem.
You know, how does this make sense? So what we have is a really, really crummy payments model. And I am interested. I don't know what we're ever going to do about the major medical types of things because, as you said, I don't know how we go back from that. But I do know at a very grassroots level for primary care, you're seeing different models emerge they will become more popular because so many doctors are in the business because they want to be doctors. They want to take care of people. They feel pretty strongly about that, and they've invested a lot in it. And whereas insurance companies are not there to take care of people, No. They're there because it's a for-profit business, and the people who run them and operate them and live in that world are thinking in a profit maximization way, or nose up the butt of government day way to make everything work, and that it's a different mindset. But the people who say, you know what, I just want to practice medicine, I don't want to be involved with insurance or any of this crap, and there's a model out there that allows me to do it, that's why you're seeing so many practices convert to that.
Well, yeah, I just, but you're not going to get, I mean, I really been, if I had, as you know, Kevin, I've never been one that went crazy after the dollar, which is crazy to seem for a guy who's on the trading floor. I viewed that as a business. I had 11 traders working for me one time. I really thought I loved it because it was competitive. Every day you're challenging yourself against a bunch of other people. It was like heaven. You know, that kind of competition I absolutely love. It was like an all-day softball game, you know, in a lot of ways. And, this idea that these insurance companies, but I'm also in an industry now, a relatively small brokerage and money management firm that, you know, we're doing fine, thank you. But every day is a fight against the bureaucracy. Every day is a fight against the people who really want small brokerage firms out of business. They can say what they want. And there was an interesting tête-à-tête yesterday between this. I should listen to the testimony, try and get him on as a, there's this old fart senator. I can say that because he's probably my age. Was talking to Jerome Powell about the amount of combinations in banks, and there never seems to be a problem with it on the part of the Fed. No matter what it is, every recombination's okay. And this guy's like, I don't want every day to be less and less banks. And I've written you letters on this. I've written detailed stuff. I've asked for stuff. I don't seem to get it. And Jerome Powell's sitting there, and I actually kind of like the guy. But you know what, Kevin? One thing about trading on a trading floor, you pick up certain skills. I can look at somebody, and I can tell you almost exactly what he's thinking. Because that was a skill. The other skill was you had directional hearing. You could hear one guy, 10 feet away because he had an order, and you'd block out the other people. You'd say humans don't have a skill like that. Yeah, you can. Yeah, you do. Other than that,
I'll bet you Audrey hates that skill.
Oh, well, absolutely. Sometimes we're at dinner, and I don't hear a word she says. I lock in on something on the next table because they're talking about finance. She goes, "Who are you listening to?" I go, "The next table." Well, thank you. Want me to leave? No, I don't want you to leave. You know, that type of thing. It is an irritating skill. But anyway, I'm saying I loved, but now it's if I was to come back and just wanted to make a lot of money, I'd just look around me and I'd stick my head right up the ass of whatever business is involved in government. Cause you become the system. I mean, in our business, if you're the Goldman Sachs, you're God. If you're somebody other, anyway. But this guy and Jerome Powell is sitting there, and I could just tell by the half smirk on his face. I can't wait till this old fart stops talking on to the next guy, because you know what? I'm doing whatever I damn well please, and I really work for the banks and not for him. And the less of them there are, the more my guys like it, and that's what I'm doing. And that's what they're doing, Kevin. There's no. It reminds me of the meeting we had at Mesro when they were still around. You know, it was a Melissa Bean. She was a speaker. She was a representative at that time. I don't even know, Kevin. She was North Shore. Was she Republican or Democrat? I don't even know. And she, this is during the crisis in 2008. I very seldom ask questions. You know, I was the back row seat in college. I said, you know, I got to ask a question. Do any people review any of these transactions that are done by essentially the bureaucracy? What are you talking about? And I said, well, my guess is from hearing you speak, that you would like to see a lot of competition in the banking industry. Well, yes, I would. I said, well, do you know that in the last weekend there's five banks that I can tell you were taken over by somebody else on the weekend, and somebody comes in and the federal government picked up, you know, the bad loans, and they kicked the good loans from Matty Weber's defunct bank into Kevin O'Neill's bank. I said, and it looked to me like those are pretty pricey. I mean, is somebody sitting on somebody's lap, or what's going on here? Because is there any way that I could get people from on the air, we put up a pool of $10 million, and next weekend we say we want one of these banks. And she goes, well, no, I don't think you could do that. I said, well, why not? She goes, well, I don't know. I said, well, okay, so this bank, they paid essentially $20 million. for this, from Eddie Weber's old bank. And they didn't take over any of the bad loans. I said, this place had, I don't know what the number was, Kevin, how many $1 billion in deposits, and like 7 or 8 locations. I said, do you have any idea how much more than $40 million it would take for somebody to get those locations and that kind of money? Does anybody review this stuff to see if you're paying too much or somebody's greasing somebody? She looked at me like I had 2 heads. I said, why don't 3 senators and 3 representatives once a month review 2 or 3 of these transactions at random just to see if something's going on? She thought I was absolutely nuts, Kevin. Nuts. And I am, obviously. But who does review it? Who guards the guards? I mean, I would say is if I'm a senator, maybe because of my view on numbers, I would say, hey, there's 10 banking things. Why don't you send me one of them? I want to read through it and see what the hell happened there. Now, would that make me the least popular guy in Washington or what? But if nobody does it.
Probably would, yeah.
Yeah, but if nobody does it, what happens? People that get involved, get involved. Why shouldn't you and I be able to put our name on the table? Especially with your experience in banking. I mean, why shouldn't we say, we got 10 million bucks. Next time one comes down our size, we'll take it. What are the chances of us getting one? Like a snowball's chance in hell or what?
Approximately, yeah.
I mean, but why, this is a country that's supposed to be, I mean, have you ever hear more BS about helping small businesses out of the last 3 administrations with no help whatsoever? Very little?
Well, it's because, you know, everybody's got their version of how things are supposed to work and what fair is. And that's always the big thing is, you know, I'm not even sure. Let me put it this way. There's a lot of times when I don't want to hear government tell me what fair is, because what fair means to most people and what fair means to the government is, you know, that it's going to create an advantage for somebody, even if it's well-intentioned. And that's really the problem is that, regulations, as we've talked about so many times on this show, regulations are always to the benefit of the big guys. So they'll complain. They'll complain about new regulations and talk about, how bad they are. But in reality, you put new regulations on, people who can afford compliance are going to win that game, and people who, small businesses who can't afford compliance are going to fall by the wayside.
Well,
so, we do things in the name of what's righteous and screw people in a non-righteous way.
But Kevin, if you have any kind of business, and I'm not using the old white guy business model, but I'll do something simple. If you have a landscaping business, okay, anybody who's got an ounce of brains is going to say, what's the least enjoyable piece about landscaping? I always thought it was trimming. I didn't mind the lawnmower, but trimming or edging, I always thought was a royal pain in the ass when I did it. So knowing that that's the pain in the ass piece, if I go out there and I have 5 guys or ladies or whatever doing Manny Weber's lawn, the first thing I'm going to do is check the edging, because I know that's the part nobody wants to do, right? I mean, you're supposed to know something about human nature after you live a while. Maybe I'm trying to be the 50s dad or something, but I mean, you must know that if you're a congressman and you're on the committee for, banking audits or whatever, that you like to see, I think you'd like to see, all kinds of competition in the banking industry. You'd like to see a very vibrant industry where people can get in it if they want, and if you go too far and you make a bad loan, you're out of it. And that's the way health is in a competitive environment. But you also have to know that the losers that you hire, not are not all losers, the bureaucrats that you hire to keep an eye on these banks and do the minimal amount of stuff that I think we all think they should do, their motivation is, I don't want to go 48 miles and see this bank in Mokena, I'd sure wish they weren't even there. The motivation is different than yours. So you have to be like the guy who checks the edging on the landscaping. You have to make sure that your people, the Congress, I'm convinced, wants a vibrant banking system. Powell's employees want one less bank to mess with. I mean, somebody has to realize that that's the motivation, right? I mean, I was never a father, but you have to, I have a feeling you understand that one of your kids helped you with the lawn, that their motivation is to get the hell out of there as fast as possible, right?
wait. Kids help me with the lawn?
Well, I mean, we used to do that. We used to have to do that. I mean, I don't think my stepfather ever cut the lawn. I was 8, I was cutting it for guys. I mean, I'm just saying that
But you're dead on. The goal was to get done as fast as possible and to cut every possible corner.
Yeah, so why do we not think that bureaucrats are the same way? You can just tell. So I'm saying somebody has to monitor these people. To come in on a Saturday and make a transaction from one bank to another, Kevin, how the hell does somebody even do that? So you're going to make it, like the guy used to be on, he's dead now, so I want to talk to him, Bill Seidman. He was a Resolution Trust guy. We know we gave away too much money in the first few, but yeah, what the hell? Yeah, what the hell? It's not your money, or you don't think it's your money. It's the federal government's money. And wow, we just gave a few too many away. What's the difference? We had to grease the wheels. Well, wow, that's an interesting. I just want to be one of the guys. I'm at this point, Kevin. I just want the grease to come my way once, or anybody I know. I don't even care if it's your. I'll celebrate if it's your way. If all of a sudden you get greased, or Maddie, or somebody.
So will I.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you might even buy. I don't know about Maddie. Thomas, I'm sure Thomas would not buy, even if he gets some huge contract with the government. What do you think? he'd come out with separate checks. But anyway, Kevin, what about basketball? Why? But there's nobody. I saw Duke lose last night. I actually watched that game. It was a pretty good game. I don't feel so bad about the Irish losing.
We could be looking at a pretty good tournament here, you know, with a lot of interesting stuff going on.
As good as Duke is, Zion gets hurt, and they've lost 2 out of 3 now. And
tough games, though.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Definitely tough games, but they were pretty dominant when he's healthy. So if he's back and healthy for the tournament, they'll be fine. If he's not, it's open to anybody.
Well, they had a guy last night who was sick. They had another guy who... that freshman at Virginia Tech is awful good, that forward. What's his name? He played last week. He killed the Irish. Tell us his name. Blackshear or something?
Blackshear. I think he's a sophomore.
But he
yeah, he's not a freshman, but he's a good ball player.
Yeah, he's
and,
good.
And they're guarded.
Yeah, I saw him live last weekend, and he's a nice ball player and getting better. I don't know if he's going to stay around for another year. I hope he does, just for... because I think it'll be good for his development, because he can still be kind of raw, but he's a good ball player. By the way, I got to tell you, Buzz Williams is a fantastic post-game press conference.
That's the guy with the vest? Mr. Vest?
Yeah, but he's, well, now that he's got a little bit of hair, he doesn't look like Curly Howard anymore, but he's just an interesting dude, you know. He's firing off numbers and statistics and things like that, you know. Like, he really just has a deep knowledge. He also told a good Mike Bray story. He said, and I don't know if I have time to tell this, but
why don't you hold it for credit?
He used to write letters to coaches, and Bray was one of the few that wrote him back all the time.
Hold that one for Friday, because yeah, Mike Bray's a pretty interesting guy. Kevin, take care of yourself. We'll talk on Friday. I have a feeling we have a lot of stuff to review on Friday. God, today.
Well, we might. Yeah.
Today can be an interesting
one.
Okay. SP Futures down 6.25. NASDAQ Futures down 19. Today we have Mr. Russell Rhodes for a half hour. Now we have Mr. Wayne Mattson for the last half hour to talk about the Cohen testimony. That should be real interesting. Next hour should be even really, really, really good, as they used to say. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks. Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we are also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. It might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at ptisecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@ptisecurities.com. That's john@ptisecurities.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now.
Something happening. Welcome back, Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howley. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. S&P futures down 650. NASDAQ futures down 20. We have Mr. Russell Rhodes from, did you say he's from a comp suite in Trump Tower?
Am I from where?
A comp suite in Trump Tower?
I'm at the DerivCon, which is a Tab Group plus ISDA. We're doing a derivatives conference in New York today.
So it's not a comp suite from the president.
Oh, okay. God, no, yeah. No. In fact, I'll tweet it out in just a moment. But, you know, as always, I'm traveling on a budget. I'm staying at the Hampton Inn on 8th Avenue. And when I went to make my coffee this morning, I had 4 packets of decaf and nothing else. Who does that to somebody? And I took a picture of it, but I hadn't sent it out there yet. It's coming out right now.
Well, if you tweet it out, when you tweet it out, we'll know it's true.
Yeah, no, it's true, man. I also was getting ready to get in the shower, so I had to angle the picture because they're kind of reflective, and I didn't want anybody.
No, you don't want to go.
I didn't want to be viral. Trust me.
Do you have the cardigan?
The cardigan on and nothing else.
I don't know if we're ready for that visual.
Nobody needs to see that.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
So, we've been talking for an hour, and we've been listening, and I've been watching the news all morning. We seem to have forgotten about that India and Pakistan are fighting each other.
Yeah, I was reading about that yesterday, and they don't back down. And this is the same pattern that has... It's almost the exact same pattern that has led to them shooting at each other in the past. India has crossed lines, done a little something, and Pakistan always feels like they have to retaliate to keep the border where the border is.
Manny, how about digging up? I'm going to say I was probably in high school when they had the full-out war.
What? It was 71.
All right, it was freshman college. Pretty close.
Yeah.
Not bad for old guy memory.
Yeah, but they both have nukes. I'll just leave it at that.
Did India have nukes in 71? I don't think so. Maybe they did.
I don't think they had nukes at that time.
That's as much as I'm not a big fan of the regime in Iran. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I'm probably not a fan at all.
Yeah, I was going to say there's not. I'm going to let you go on that one.
I don't know how exactly you you fight the argument with them that they don't need nukes because they clearly are surrounded by them.
Yeah.
I mean, Russia's got them, Israel's got them, Pakistan's got them, India's got them. I mean, they're really the only people that don't have them. And I, as for Saudi, I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't put it past them, but they certainly have enough money to buy one.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past them either. You know, I would say they have access if they want them. From us.
That's a polite way of saying something.
Yeah, no, I think, you know what, I think if Iran said they had them, that we would enter into some sort of agreement very quickly with Saudi Arabia, that if Iran ever did anything along those lines, that we would, you know, kind of like a act or something along those lines.
Well, Iran ever had any kind of a shift in government, they could easily become the nicer guy than Saudi, because Saudi's going the wrong way on that one.
Well, they used to be.
Yeah, they used to be.
We kind of got stuck with Saudi Arabia after Iran wasn't our buddy anymore.
What can you think of any reason? I'm not going to ask you to give you know, a whole lot of investment advice, because I don't give it, so I'm not going to ask you to do it. But given the price, say last week of where the VIX got down to, and I've been putting a lot of money to work, Russell, and I'm buying put protection for everybody because that's my style. I was kind of stunned at how cheap I was getting some of these far out puts. Can you think of any reason, with all the crap going on in the world this week, that somebody doesn't protect at least a little bit of their stuff?
No, and I think we almost had the exact same conversation last week where they're giving you a chance to protect yourself through the middle of this year without paying up too much for it.
If you go further, you have to start paying more, which is weird.
Yeah.
Because I was buying some December puts.
Well, I think there's more risks going into the fall. The next potential Fed move, you know, is probably not until the fall as well. So I think that's why you suddenly, everybody thinks the next, you know, 3 to 6 months, we've got no issues. Also, in the fall, you're going to start looking toward 2020.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody has this feeling that 2020 is going to be a pretty volatile year, both politically, and also a lot of people have this feeling that's where we're going to see the next recession.
Well, I'm not so sure.
We're in the quiet before the storm right now.
I'm not so sure we make it that far. Some of these numbers
I'm
seeing are...
I'm just interpreting the numbers. That's where I think we're at.
Just in terms of gross numbers, Professor, for those that don't know, he's a economics professor. I don't... When you have... If you had an adjusted... I'm a little miffed because I was listening to Chairman Powell yesterday talk about he just can't get this inflation moving. You know what? I was going to say something nasty about him. Cut him off from the health insurance dole from the federal government, and we'll see what he says next month or next time he comes in front of Congress about inflation. Just me. I mean, I'm being vindictive here. But I was talking to one of the guys here that works in the building, and he was he lives in, you know, one of the hoods in the city. You know, in the middle, I guess what used to be and still sort of is considered a middle class area. And he was telling me, if you don't make, he's got two kids. One I think is in public high school, and one I think is still going to the Catholic grammar school. And he says, if you don't make, for a family of four, if you don't make $100,000 a year, you can't live with a mortgage.
Oh, yeah.
The median family income is 54. This is a big problem. Russell, I mean, it's a huge problem. And we just had this mayoral election here yesterday, which I'm going to put down as, honestly, a joke. When I say a joke, not because the lady who won, I think she's actually pretty darn talented.
Did she win outright? Remember?
No, God, no. No, she got 17% of the vote.
Who came in second? Who's the runoff?
Tony Preckwinkle, who I'm not a big fan of.
Okay.
The idea of having a person who runs the county that can sort of dictate where people go on elections and things like that, and somehow you get into the mayor's race with 75,000 votes or whatever the final total being.
Uh-huh.
It was the least, only one other mayoral election in history has been less people turn out. So literally the lady who won got 80,000 votes,
uh-huh.
which is
out of what, you know, 3 million people?
Somewhere, 2.6
million. Let's say 2 million that can vote.
Yeah, when I was, the reason why I'm kind of attuned to this is I worked for Nancy Sheehan, for those who've heard me tell the story 100 times. I worked for Nancy Sheehan, and she ended up, when Don Clark Netsch ran for governor, and all the Democrats got smoked. And, Nancy was the one, and actually was leading going into the last weekend. So the party talked her into giving them her money. Because, you know, this idea that you run, I mean, I was not surprised at all at the Hillary situation where, because she gave money to the Democratic National Committee, that they essentially, you know, performed oral sex on her. I mean, because they're broke. You know, I mean, that's the Democratic mantra. You actually got to pony up money to the party, not the other way around. Where the Republican Party, if you run, people actually will contribute to the Republican Party, without even knowing or caring who's running, because there is some, whether you like it or don't like it, there is some sort of the platform there, where the Democrats only pony up if it's a person running that they like. So there's no cash in hand. So she ended up losing by very few votes, and her campaign manager, you know, over a few cocktails, says to me at what's supposed to have been the victory party ended up being the victory wake, right? He says, Tom, you know who wins these elections, how screwed up these are? And his name was Tom, too. And I said, no, tell me. He goes, well, you got a state of however many people, and half of them aren't even registered, right? I'm thinking probably more registered now. And he goes, and less than half of them vote. So if you do the math, you're talking about 20% of the people voting, and she lost by half of 1%. So because it's like the numbers, and yet, you know, millions of dollars flip and contracts and everything change, and when people don't even have the ability to walk down a block and do something. And it's, I mean, it's astounding. This is 14 people. And I was telling Maddie, Maddie's in my ward, there's four people in my ward, three young people, and Michelle, what's how old is Michelle Smith, Maddie? She can't be, is she 40 even? Maybe, I don't know. She's the alderman. So there's,
I would guess yes, but let me look.
But she's, there's four people that I think are all pretty decent, and some better than decent, and worked their fanny off for a year for this. And how many people even showed up in the ward, Manny? 5,000?
Michelle Smith is 64.
Okay. I never met her, so I don't know. I mean, obviously I know now. But
that's even worse because you're going along with looks.
I never saw her. I just saw with a picture. The picture could have been from 20 years ago. But I'm saying, yeah. I mean, these people work that hard. And people, what percentage of people in the ward do you think voted, Maddie? 10%? 20? I mean, you don't have the decency to go out and vote against you, for God's sake. You would think people at least like you or don't like you, don't ignore you. I mean, it was a pretty feisty election, and people came.
Oh yeah, it's fun. I don't live in the city, so this didn't happen to me. But I had an Uber driver the other day. Who's taking me back out to the burbs, so I was with him for about 45 minutes. He got four calls from different mayoral candidates.
Yeah. But I'm saying,
he was getting the dinner time robocalls.
But two of these aldermanic people came to my door. So for like a year, they're coming door to door. That guy could leave his house on a Sunday, leave his family, come knock on my door, talk to me about what I cared about, and I can't even get my dead ass off the sofa and walk 40 feet to the park. I mean, come on.
Did any of these people, did anybody make a concerted effort to try to gather early voting votes?
I think so. Yeah. And I think that's why.
Because that, in this case, that is something that really could have made a difference.
Well, it might still, because they're not counted.
Yeah.
I think.
It still could make a difference, I guess. I don't know how many are.
Well, I mean,
or anything like that.
So that brings up another story. When most of these ballots come from areas, or at least they used to, they might not anymore, come from areas where people don't even know what the term vacation means, you do start to wonder. I mean, if you're going to get 20,000 votes out of Inglewood, all there are empty lots, I guess I got a problem with that, but I'm not saying that's what's happening. I mean, I think they just hold the election on a Sunday, and unless you give them a note from God that you're going to be in Europe that weekend, you got to just show up. I mean,
I know why we do Tuesday instead of Sunday. It's it dates back to when I was growing up in Memphis in the 70s. You could hardly find a grocery store that would be open on a Sunday. Now that's four, you know, that's 50 years, 40, 50 years ago. You couldn't buy alcohol anywhere. You could, I mean, it was, you didn't do things on Sundays back then.
Well, but that's not
yard work. But that, I believe that's the reason that we don't have Sunday voting like everybody else in the world. But I think culturally we have changed to the point where I don't think you could make, you know, Sunday is for rest and church day. I don't think that you can make that argument anymore.
Well, first of all,
and I agree with you. When I watch the elections that occur, you know, when I see that coming this weekend we're going to have, you know, the presidential election in Brazil over the weekend, that is exactly when you should have, if you want people to participate, that is exactly when you want to have an election. But you know what? The people running in Illinois don't want people to participate.
Ding, ding, ding. Ding, ding, ding.
Why the hell do you think we have the primaries for the House of Representatives like in February in election year? It's because nobody's paying attention. The weather is bad.
Yep. Oops.
And and beyond that, they don't. You know, they because they want to be able to slip in with minimal effort for the you know, for the primary.
Well, the county used to give their people the day off for the election.
Yeah, that probably has something to do with it as well. You never get your mail on election day in Chicago.
We did yesterday.
Well, yesterday didn't count. It's not a real election.
That's probably not a real election.
I'm talking about the one in November.
Well, just the whole idea of separating out the city stuff from the real election is another crazy thing. Why do that?
Yeah, and it's a cause.
So what happens today with
elections is free.
Oh, yeah. Well, now we have another one. The runoff.
Yeah.
What's going to happen with your buddy Trump today? Kevin...
I don't know. I have a funny feeling this guy, and I haven't paid that much attention because I think what is going to happen is he's going to say a lot of nasty things. A lot of people are going to jump on it, and within a couple of weeks, we'll have moved on to something else.
I really think
it's just an opportunity to try to make him look really bad. Especially, it's really good timing when he's on the other side of the world.
Well, I was talking to some Trumpkins this weekend, and they've absolutely gotten immune to no matter what anybody says now. They're all just trying to get him. There's no chance that it. I actually said, you know what? I voted for first time in. I voted for Barack Obama. I said after I saw him. For the first term, really not do anything that he sort of promised he was going to do. And he started to get people around him there that I didn't like the policies at all. That I continued to listen and evolve in my opinion of the gentleman. And I voted for Mitt Romney a second time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll stand on that. I mean, I don't know if people say I was an idiot the first time. Some people say I'm an idiot the second time. I don't know. But the fact is, I continued to listen. And I said, My issue with the Trump people, of which there's a few at this table, I said, is I'm not going to ever bitch about why you voted for him when the stuff was on the other side. In my whole life, I've wanted to see somebody from the outside come in and stir up the things a little bit, just not him. But if I would have, if I'd have been forced to vote between the two of them instead of chickening out essentially and voting for the Libertarian, hoping they'd get 5% and get money in the next election, which they're not going to, by the way. Because they didn't make 5%, I would have voted for him over Hillary. I mean, I will say that tomorrow. My Democratic friends will be appalled. But the simple fact is, the man's now been there for two and a half years.
Yeah,
2 years and a couple months.
You have a track record to base your opinion.
And now all of a sudden, I get this view that I absolutely am appalled by. You know, I mean, and now I said you can't be like. Is there ever been a kid at some point, if you're away from arm's length of your mother, when she started telling you doing something where you put your hands over your ears and they say, I can't hear you?
I said, yeah, I do that a lot.
Yeah, I'm saying I don't. I mean,
living in a house of women, I do that all the time.
But I'm saying that's exactly what you guys, I'm not asking you to renege on your vote. I'm not asking you to say you made a mistake because I don't necessarily think you did. I said, but you got to keep listening to where we're going here. And the things that are happening, and I mean, you got to keep an open mind. It's not just I don't think I made a quote mistake when I voted for Obama the first time. I made a call. I, you know, I don't, And you know what? It's like making a bad trade. You want to make the next one better. You try not to make the same mistake twice. These guys are locked into him because the other side is so appalling that they can't even begin to go there. They'll go down with the ship with this guy, no matter what he does. And I think at some point you got to say, I got out my ears. I still hope somehow that he gets a couple of people in there but it's not going to happen after this point before Matt even tells me that. But somehow the next 2 years are better than the first two. The man's a dictator wannabe.
I don't think the next 2 years are going to be any better, but because there's a little bit more balance of power floating around there, it's going to limit any big changes over the next couple of years. That's for sure.
Except for the fact that when I was on the SIBO board, we'd go to Washington for our one meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Now I look at one of those guys, one of the old farts that were on the board that were the supposed outside governors. They were about as useless as you could find because they wouldn't. The thought of them voting anything, ever their conscience, and displacing themselves from the board, it would never happen. So I this whole idea of the outside governors being the moral influence, I sure didn't see it. But those guys would, every one of them would sit back, brr, brr. I'll tell you, when those guys across the street are in session, nobody's safe. It's so better when they're like, this was the mantra, this idea that we can have no government. Right now, Russell, this is not the time for that. Right now we need somebody today that is some combination of Solomon and Roosevelt, because we are going down a rat hole by ourselves with this debt and everything else. We can't figure out what we're doing here. We don't know if we're on foot or horseback. Mm-hmm. And I don't see us being able to push this off. Oh, another 8 years of gridlock and we'll be fine.
I don't think there'll be another 8 years of it, because unfortunately, in order to institute any sort of change whatsoever that you're talking about, you have to hit the crisis point first.
But
and
you gotta be careful.
You and I pay more attention to it than most people, but so we can kind of see it, coming. One way or another, and I'm not going to say we were dead on, but one way or another, we had a pretty good idea that what happened with 2008 was going to happen. You could see the disconnect for several years. I worked at a hedge fund where we were just very early, but we were short housing stocks and short mortgage lenders in 2005 and 2006 because we could see what was coming. I believe a lot of other people kind of knew what was coming, but they weren't really admitting it. It's going to take another disaster for us to make the proper changes.
Well,
hopefully more changes are made than were last time.
You sound like in a certain way. Now, I shouldn't. Oh, I can't compliment you.
You can badmouth me.
No. I was going to say
something. I'm going to be on for 2 more minutes.
I was going to say something nice about you.
Okay. You can say something nice about me too.
You sound like Roosevelt in some regard that he knew that we had to be. Attacked.
A lot of people say he was being nasty and stuff because he wouldn't start working on problems till he actually got into office. But I think there's another side to that, and I think another side of it is probably where you're going with it, which is that he realized that to implement the kind of changes he wanted to, it needed to get really bad or be really bad.
Well, also, when you got elected in November in those times, when you took office?
Sworn in March.
Yeah, sworn in March. How many people know that, you think?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you were sworn in March.
When did that change?
I can't remember when they changed it. And that made a little bit more sense when people basically didn't try to travel in the wintertime, like in the early 1800s. moving it up makes a lot of sense, too. Now.
But I guess where I'm going is Roosevelt knew that he needed something. We had to hit bottom worldwide because the public opinion was just mildly ticking into from total isolation into these guys are going to be this bad, we're going to end up doing something one of these days.
So what year, I'll ask you two mavens, as Chief would say, what year do you think Inauguration Day moved to January 20th?
I'm going to say 1940.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Russell?
Nah, I'm going to guess 61 with Eisenhower, maybe.
Chief wins. It was 1937. So the 36.
Really?
The 36 election.
Oh, wow. Yep. I didn't know it was that early.
So, okay. Well before any of us were born.
Well, I know Roosevelt couldn't figure out what to do with himself for 5 months after he won, so it's not surprising to me he changed it. But what I'm saying is, the thing of it is, though...
And it made sense to change it.
Well, my one point I'm trying to make here, clumsily, is that Roosevelt was right, okay, in waiting and waiting and waiting. I'm sure he didn't expect to have people get killed in Hawaii, but I mean, he was in waiting until... But the point being is that if you read any of the history, the more I read it, every time now I read it, I get this chill up my spine, Russell, how close we came. When you take that attitude that you got to hit bottom first, and by the way, I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah.
Bottom means bottom. The chances of there's at least a significant chance you don't come off the bottom, even with a Roosevelt or a Lincoln. I mean, we almost didn't make it out of the Civil War. I mean, if it wasn't for the Battle of Midway, I don't think the Pacific looks anything like now. We would have sued for peace over there, given those guys. They would have said, look, give us what we got, and we won't bother you anymore, and we would have probably said, okay. I mean, Vietnam, we did that, right?
If it had come down to some sort of war of attrition, and you know what? I don't know if you're right on that.
Well, we'll never know.
I only got like 90 seconds, but I don't know if you're right on that, because think about what they did to us. You know what I mean?
I mean, I'm saying there's no way of knowing, but...
I think that could have happened in Europe.
All right, so instead
we would have allowed that to happen in Europe, but I don't think we would have allowed that to happen in Asia.
Instead of them losing four carriers in Midway, we lose all four and they take Hawaii. You really think we mount an offensive over there from California?
Yep.
Well,
regroup like we did in Europe. You know, they basically regrouped for almost 2 years and built everything up and then went back in. Yeah, I do.
I think
they probably would have started working their way over to California as well.
Pretty tough to invade here, but.
But anyway. We have the ability. We had more of an ability to mobilize the population. And
what do you say we tee this one up
than anywhere else?
What do you say we tee this one up next week?
I don't think we would have ever have agreed to peace in that part of World War II.
Well, we'll talk about this next week because it's an interesting subject. SP Futures down 575. NASDAQ Futures down 1825. Thank you for calling in, Russell.
Go
over and watch the Cohen hearings now down in Washington. We'll come back.
I'm at a conference all day. You have to watch it for me.
Okay. Well, we have Mr. Wayne Matson coming back. I'm sure he'll have some thoughts about today. Interesting stuff. Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, if they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of HomeSource Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Well, everybody, Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tomorrow's Mr. Matt Weber on the board with Mr. Wayne Manson in a second. SP Futures market's a little nervous ahead of all the crazy stuff that's going to happen today, but not very much. We were up yesterday and we ducked on the close a little bit. Same 2 days in a row. We were up most of the day and then ducked on the close. Right now we got SP Futures down 550, NASDAQ Futures down 18, Dow Futures down 50. So not much. Over in Europe we've got, we're kind of slow there too. We got the DAX down 47.4, FTSE down 51.7, CAC around down only 7, so call that one flat. Over in Asia, we've got a little bit to the upside. These guys have been roaring, as everybody knows. Nikkei up 107, 21,556. Shanghai up 12.4%. Still over 2950, 2953. These guys were under 2500 not that long ago. It's a big bounce in these Chinese markets. Hang Seng down 14, so call that one flat. Oil with a pretty big move today. Oil's up $1.19. I think it's a real big move. It's 2%. 56.69. Brent up 84, so the spread is now... We're pushing down almost like 940, so it's down like well over, say a dollar in the last few days. Natural gas down 4 cents, 275. Even though this winter seems like it's going to make it to summer, man, natural gas prices are not showing it. RBOB down 2 cents, still 161, so be ready to pony up at the pump this week. Home heating oil up a penny, 201. And we've got gold flat, 000, 1328. Silver down 3 cents. What do you got for us, Trevi Weather Sports?
Coming up on 36 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. A couple of issues to report on the area expressways. I-55 northbound just before Route 126. Southwestern suburbs near Bolingbrook. In that area, we have a crash that's blocking the right shoulder. This one just came across. And it has traffic completely stopped heading inbound on I-55. So expect significant delays while crews work to get this crash completely cleared. It's been moved to the right shoulder, but still causing major congestion. No issues on the Dan Ryan, I-57, or the Bishop Ford. Further inbound on the Stevenson, traffic building, but no accidents to report. Traffic building heavily on the Eisenhower, but no accidents there either. Same for the Kennedy. Edens looks good. We did have an earlier crash on the Tri-State in the northern burbs heading southbound just before Central Road. That accident has been clear, but still all kinds of congestion, as that accident took about an hour to get completely cleared, and there's gapers on the northbound side as well. So the Tri-State there moving slowly. Out west, we have a crash. In fact, Algonquin Road westbound between Bateman and Helm Road is closed. due to icy conditions have caused several accidents. Eastbound just reopened, but the westbound is still closed due to multiple crashes because of icy conditions. We do have a winter weather advisory that's in effect until 9 a.m. this morning for DeKalb, Kane, and Lake counties, also McHenry County as well, because of freezing drizzle and light snow that's causing major driving concerns. Shouldn't affect us in the city. We might see some outskirts of that, but nothing significant. Weather today downtown will be overcast right at the freezing mark, a high of 32. Right now it's cloudy and 27 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy and warm, a high of 75. Right now it's overcast and 54. In sports, Coyotes won their fourth straight. They beat the Panthers 4-3 in the shootout. Blackhawks were off. They're in Anaheim tonight. That's a 9 p.m. Chicago time puck drop.
Chief. The Wayne, how are you?
Very good. Just the country's anxiously awaiting the bombshells beginning at 10 o'clock Eastern.
Well, I'm reading here the headline on CNBC. Michael Cohen in testimony plans to call Trump a racist, a cheat, and a con man. I'm going to tell you that I will go, maybe I'll stop tonight at one of three emporiums where I know I can run into a bunch of Trumpkins. And I will say that, now does this, Maddie, does this sound appropriate? I will hear, well, Obama was a racist just as bad. By the way, he's not as big a cheat as Hillary. And hey, they're all con men. Every politician I've ever known has been a con man. So am I right, spot on or what?
Yes, it's really something.
But nobody can be.
I feel your pain. I have also been subjected to similar. It's family. It's a family show. I won't go there. But yeah, I know what you mean. It's amazing how people can tune out absolute. Factual information because they don't want their own preconceptions abused or their own illusions, actually.
Well, I will say this, though, Wayne. By the way, you haven't been on, you know, it hasn't been that long, a couple of weeks, but I've turned over a new leaf. And now instead of when somebody says something, it's stone-cold ignorant, instead of, you know, just thinking that and moving on, I'm saying, okay, wait a minute, what caused them to say that? And I will say this, and I have people very close to me that are Trumpkins, and when you mention the fact that the guy has never told a truth in his life, if he did, he did it by accident, they will say, pretty darn accurately, every politician I've ever listened to has lied. He's maybe a little worse. What's the difference? And you know what? They're not all wrong there, Wayne. They're not.
Having covered politicians for a lifetime now, I can say that's true. Even people that I have come to know very well and like, I have seen them skirt the truth on occasion. And, it doesn't mean I think any less of them as a friend or a colleague, but it's there. I think it goes with the territory. Also, big egos. Trump has the biggest ego of anybody I've ever met. I've not met him. I was covered in one of his rallies in Florida, but the ego part. All politicians have an ego. One former U.S. senator told me, he says, "You got to understand something. Every one of these 100 U.S. senators," he said, "including myself when I was in the Senate, we wake up in the morning, we go in the bathroom, we look in the mirror, and we all see the next president of the United States."
Yep. Well, I have two questions. I'm going to say, if somebody say Trump's a cheat, and somebody were to say to me, "So is Hillary," I'm not going to. I can't argue that one either. I mean,
The whataboutism, I think, takes away from the fact that Hillary's not the president.
Right,
she never
right.
will be.
Right. Well, God, I hope not.
This guy is, got his finger on the button, and he had a few other, arrows in his. Quiver as well.
Well, I guess my question, and you've been around the block in Washington a bazillion times, and I've been around like once. I went to see the memorials. How does somebody get from Wayne Mattson does nothing but lie to everybody? Wayne Mattson's a bleep hole, and we don't want any part of him. But then some people get to cross over some imaginary line to where. Well, so what? He's not as bad as Matty Weber. He's not as bad as this guy, so he's okay. or, you know, if Manny Weber's late for something, we're pissed at him. Other people are late, that's okay. He's like a senator. He can be late. How do you get over that line? I've never been able to do it. If I ever did something wrong, which is pretty rare, actually. I've been one of those Catholic educated guys. I mean, not that that means a lot, but I'm saying I expect to be called out on it. I don't expect to be saying,
yeah,
well, the chief's an idiot, but so what? This other guy's a worse idiot, so it's okay. I mean, how do you get
to
that point?
Yeah, I think that's why we have law enforcement. That's why we have prosecutors. That's why we have judges. Look, say somebody is, they're in their teens and they're a shoplifter. They get away with it, maybe 20 times. And that 21st time, boom, the store detective nabs them, the cops come, they're arrested. And, then they're, hopefully they learn a lesson if they go before a judge and they're fined, or even if they do a little bit of time in jail, to set people straight. I look at Bob Mueller in this way now. Trump has gotten away with all this stuff through an entire career of grifting, lying, cheating, stealing, and God knows what else. I've looked at him. If you look at his casinos in Atlantic City, you think you're looking at a mob operation, because you are.
Yeah,
I mean, he was dealing with little Nicky Scarfo, for example, who ran the rackets out of Atlantic City in Philadelphia. He conveniently died of a heart attack at the age of 79, a week before Trump was inaugurated. He died in a federal prison. It's too bad. I would have liked the guy to gone to the Bureau of Prison, got a meeting with the guy, and tell me, Nicky, tell me all about Trump back in Atlantic City and what, the concrete he says you guys poured for him. I have a feeling there might have been some bodies in that concrete. I think we're either a nation of laws, which is based on our concepts of morality, or we're not. And I think people, if they think Trump is fine, wait till they hear Cohen today, who's going to unload on him as a grifter and crook that he is.
How many people do you think who were born after the movie The Sting even know what a grifter is?
Yeah, I know. I'm dating myself. Probably most people alive right now that are listening to this program were born way after The Sting, but it's a great movie, and I just never thought we'd see a situation where you take the cast of The Sting and place them in the White House.
Manny, what's your definition of a grifter?
A grifter is like a con man or panhandler,
person who engages in petty or small scale swindling.
There you go.
But I, here, what I'm trying to find, where I'm always trying to drag out of you, Wayne, because you have these, how does somebody, suppose you get, Solomon running for office, and I'm one of these guys that when we have people on the show all the time, and I think Maddie agrees with me, that I've come to believe in my, say middle age at least, that leaving facts out is more damaging in terms of lying than actually not telling the truth. Because you can tell one hell of a story and leave a few facts out, and you get people to a place they'd never go if you just flat out lied to them.
Oh, sure, and I think a lot of these politicians are disingenuous in that way. And I hate to paraphrase Don Rumsfeld, who I covered during the Iraq War when I covered the Pentagon, but he had this sort of infamous comment, we deal with the military we have, not the one we wish we had. I've used that one to describe many other things, like we deal with the politicians we have, not the ones we wish we had. That's the case. Some are better than others. I find some politicians who listen, I've known a few that who actually listen to what you're saying. And they, take that information in, and sometimes that results in policy proposals, which I think that's a good thing. It's not perfect, but it's better than the alternative
we had with
Donald Trump.
Start with me on the base. Let's say, for instance, Matty Weber or me is an honest man. And what do they say? What was it, Matty, you remember Catholic school before, what did they say, an honest man sins seven times a day? Wasn't that the thing?
Yeah, something like that.
A just man, something like that. All right, so Matty's my speech writer, and I'm running for, I won't say mayor because nobody showed up to vote, but say I'm running for mayor. Now, I know, in my heart of hearts, that I've got to break this pension thing. The numbers just don't add up. We can't be paying able-bodied people to sit on the sofa at age 55 and paying their health care. I know it doesn't work. I know we're going down a rat hole if we continue to do it. So Maddie's writing a speech for me in front of the Policemen's Union and the Teachers Union. And I know that I have to find a way to break this or stop it or do something with it. What exactly do I go and say? Knowing what I intend to do and how if I ever said it, I don't get vote one from anybody. How do I cross that line, Wayne? These guys obviously have done it so long,
you know,
it becomes so natural
to
them.
Because people want to hear what they like to hear, not what they need to hear. You remember the debate in 1984 between Reagan and Walter Mondale? Walter Mondale, they said this was the thing that basically resulted in his winning only one state in that election. Walter Mondale said, look, Ronald Reagan's going to raise your taxes. I'm going to raise your taxes. The difference is I'm being honest with you, and he's not. And Mondale was absolutely correct.
Yeah.
But, you know, that doesn't get, I mean, he lost in a landslide. And every politician sees these moments and say, oh, my God, I'm not going to go down that path because what happened to, you know, guys like Mondale. Adlai Stevenson was another. I mean, this goes back a while, but when he ran for president twice in the 50s, he basically said, you know, things that people didn't want to hear. And, you know, they would have rather had good old Ike in there, who, you know, the guy who spent a lot of time on the golf course and looked like everybody's grandfather.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know?
Well, the thing of it is, though, I'm going to say, Wayne, times change in a sense that during the 50s, you know, I don't know what people paid in terms of property tax. I know what teachers made. I know it wasn't that big of a burden on a lot of people because, but now we've had this, I'm going to say, economic upside down part where the employees, your employees in the city, schools and whatever, have continued to get these raises. And not exorbitant ones, by the way. Just the idea over a period of 20 years when the rest of society has had this 20-year dearth. All of a sudden, if you take a snapshot of it, it's wildly out of kilter. To the point where it's totally non-sustainable, in my opinion. Where, you know, I mean, I've heard some stories this week about, you know, people retiring at age 55 and getting, you know, all of a sudden coaching a couple things their last year, so their pension is 100 grand or over 100 grand, and oh, by the way, they're getting their medical paid for, and now they went and got another job at another school, at a private school. I'm like, there's no way the rest of the people can pay for that. I mean, it's not a question of whether it's right or wrong. So to me, there's a massive difference now in the politics of the 50s and now. Now you look at people and the camel is not, you can put a few more packs on them and it's no big deal. The camel's to the point where there's a straw in there. We're talking about people in the city are two parking tickets away of going under. I mean, they've been nickel and dime to the point where it's nowhere near the 50s. In terms of
and remember, in the 50s, everyone was getting what's called a sustainable or living wage.
Right.
The consumer confidence was great back then, and the jobs people had were lifetime jobs, pensions, the whole nine, medical coverage, what they called sickness coverage, for themselves and their families, and that just doesn't exist anymore.
Well, I mean, I'm going
to
say
now, guys like Bernie Sanders want to bring us back to that, you know. Well, I like the idea, but you know, I'm also a realist. Can anyone turn back the clock? I'm not sure. There's a guy running for president on the Democratic ticket. Nobody's ever heard of it. His name is Yang. He's one of these Silicon Valley business guys who struck it rich. His big thing is, he says, look, robots are going to take your jobs. You know, he sounds like he's from the movie The Terminator. But, you know, he wants to pay everybody a universal basic income, which some countries in Canada as well, countries in Europe and Canada have tried. It's had mixed results, but but at least people are looking to, like, how do we improve the lot of the American people as a whole, and not just these billionaires like Robert Kraft, who he can charge $25 for a beer and a hot dog at Gillette Stadium in Boston, but he's paying $57, which is a weird amount of money, to some woman in at a massage parlor who was trafficked over here from China.
That's unreal.
That's chutzpah.
But the numbers, when they don't match up, I always think that the things go the wrong way. And I think we're at the point now where we actually could fix some stuff, Wayne. But somehow or another, we're not getting the right connection. I mean, we have people who believe if you just tax other people that somehow you're going to get this money. The money is just, I don't think people, even I'll even say Maddie's girlfriend, AOC, I don't think she understands that somebody who makes $250,000 a year, say, which most people would say that's a pretty hell of a salary. You think that person who actually has to pay for his college and doesn't get some kind of for his kids and actually pays these taxes that are so outrageous and all these places, do you think that person's really rich? I'll bet that dude.
No, not if they live in the Washington D.C. area, because you've got high taxes in Northern Virginia and Maryland, the District too, and. But you're talking everything is higher, high cost, like it is in New York, as it is in Boston and San Francisco. So I don't know how people even survive in San Francisco, except for the fact they get paid $250,000 or more, which is, you're almost talking about middle income in places like that.
And you're sharing a 1,000-foot two-bedroom with somebody.
Exactly.
Well, what I'm saying is that this phenomenon of the 50s and 60s that Bernie kind of wants to go back to, or some people do, I happen to think, Wayne, I don't know of any other time. You could probably go back to the Phoenicians, maybe, if you really want to do an economic history thing. I don't know if there's ever been a time where a country fought such a war without really any damage here, except for Pearl Harbor. Obviously, a lot of people are dead. All the innovations that war brought, you had somebody, a genius, who decided to bring up the middle class with the GI Bill, which was by far the, and all of a sudden these people are getting these jobs. My stepfather, and he was GI Bill guy, accounting at DePaul. He ended up, he and my mom bought the house in 1958 or 9, the bungalow, and they paid something like $18,000 for it, $18,500. I'm going to say by 1963, the house had appreciated, like 25. 24, mm-hmm. something like that. And I'll bet just because of it, with him getting normal promotions and raises, that he was able to cover the mortgage easily with like one paycheck, not scrimping for two, and my mother didn't work. I don't know that you're ever going to have, in all of recorded history, when has there ever been an economic time like the 50s, 60s, and early 70s, very early 70s in the U.S.? Everybody thinks that.
Oh, I don't think you'd find it.
I don't. Everybody thinks that's normal. That's about the biggest outlier in the history of the world. I mean,
it is, and we have to thank those politicians. Then, I mean, there were some real bad ones too. A lot of those benefits were courtesy of some very bad white segregationist Democrats from the South. But when it came to economics, they were incredibly left wing.
Yeah.
it's amazing. When you think about it, and I used to work with guys that were GI Bill guys, and it wasn't even that they got their college degrees from run of the mill 2-year or 4-year colleges, states. They went to the best schools. The military paid for them to go to Purdue and get degrees in engineering. It was really amazing. And the people that were who were produced by those educational benefit.
Well, I can't imagine. My Notre Dame in 1973, I'm going to say when I was a junior, I'm going to say the tuition was $2,900, $3,000, and the room and board was a G. So all in, you're under four. I can't imagine what my stepfather was paid for him to commute to DePaul in 1947. I mean, what do you think it was? $200?
Yeah.
We could have been that high?
And you think about the engineers and the scientists who were veterans that came out of that program. These are the guys that put us on the moon,
yeah.
for example, with some help from some ex-Nazi scientists like
yeah.
Wernher von Braun.
Well, they helped, yeah.
Yeah, well, there is that, but
yeah, there,
that, you know,
there is that.
Quite a few American scientists involved in that program.
And well. You know, if you're you know, Manny, are you a an occult crazy sort of dude? I don't know. Are you? Or not?
I don't think so.
Well, if you watch the History Channel, they're absolutely convinced that the Germans got some Wernher von Braun and those guys, that some alien landed over there and they picked up a lot of techniques from what they saw crash landing.
I bet that was during Oktoberfest week. When they
Maybe.
Were all drunk.
could very well have been. But the Nazis had this massive thing with the occult.
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely. It is fascinating. Hitler was a big believer in it. As a matter of fact, the Raiders of the Lost Ark movie, that's based on actual a unit that reported to Heinrich Himmler that went around the world looking for ancient technology. The Germans call it the Wunderwaffen,
yeah,
Wonder
yeah.
Weapon. And that's true. All that stuff is based on some factual information from the 1930s and into the 40s. They went to Tibet, for example, and had a meeting with the guy who's the Dalai Lama, the present guy. He was a boy then. They met with him.
Well, if you ever want to see the hair, see or feel the hair perk up on the back of your neck, watch those guys, the Nazi dudes in like 1936, like thousands of them walking along with torches and the solstice, heading to these old druid ruins. What kind of ruins did they would head for? What was their big thing? The German.
Well, the Teutonic. They believed in Teutonic, ancient Teutonic gods, and all that type of thing.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy stuff. So is this guy going to change?
Sound like Charlotte? Sound like Charlottesville just a few years ago? Find people on that side.
It does. I'll do it. You know, marching to in rhythm. Hey, anything? Is this guy going to change anybody's mind today, one way or the other, no matter what he says?
No, I expect the pro-Trump guys like Jim Jordan to try to disrupt the hearing. It's going to really backfire on him, especially coming a day after Matt Gaetz, who's not a committee member on this committee, sent out a tweet that made it sound like he was trying to tamper with Cohen as a witness, saying, "What about all your girlfriends? Too bad your wife's going to fool around while you're in prison." This is outrageous. I've been conducting my own investigation of Matt Gaetz, and when the information on him finally comes out, he does not have any room to be talking about others in that respect. He's got a very sordid history, both as a college student and as a Florida state representative, and now as a U.S. congressman.
Hey, I have a quick question. We only have a minute. Pakistan and India start lobbing nukes at each other, are we going to finally realize they're at war? Is it going to reach the is it going to reach the
that,
newspaper?
That could be serious. That's going to create also, if they go nuke, and they're both nuclear powers, you're talking about radioactive winds and rain heading to the east and northeast, and what's involved with that? The entire nation of China, Japan, some of the most populous countries in the world, Indonesia, Southeast Asia, all, are they going to sit idly by and watch these two go nuke on each other? I doubt it. So, yeah, you're talking about something that could that develop into a world war. That's why I think wiser heads will prevail on both these countries.
Is there any chance of
especially India, that has a rather nasty nationalist Prime Minister, Narendra Modi. Trump likes him, but Trump likes Kim Jong-un, too. He likes dictators.
Well, is there any chance this thing blows up to a real war?
It always gets close. A lot of people start making, like I'm doing, about this, what will happen if they go nuclear, because they will. I mean, that's why they have the nuclear weapons. Yeah, I think you're going to see Russia. Look, both countries are member of what's called the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. That's Russia, China. I think they're going to probably be sending their top-level people to Islamabad and New Delhi, saying, "Hey, you guys, back down now."
I don't think we sure don't need that. Wayne, thank you very much. As usual, good stuff. It'll be interesting watching today. Talk to you in a bit. Talk to you in the near future, buddy. S&P Futures down 6.25. Same number it's been all morning. NASDAQ down 20. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.